Let's turn in God's Word now to Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3. We will be reading in chapter 3. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. Now our passage will be verses 7 through 11. To give you the context, we'll start in verse 11, or verse 1, excuse me. Judges chapter 3. And before we read God's Word, let's pray to the Lord and ask for His help. Our Father, we need Your complete help as we come now to hear the reading and the preaching of Your Word. We pray that You would give us that conscionable hearing. You would grant us faith in what we hear. That You would grant us discernment. That You would grant in our hearts Your Word to be stored. And that we'd be able to teach it to others. Grant us wisdom. And in it, show us life that is only found in Christ Your Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Judges 3. And verse 1, these are God's words. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know, to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. Namely, 5 lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which He commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Baalim and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. And those are God's words. Well, God's people, where we begin is at verse 7. And that's a continuation of what came before. And you see, verse 7, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Baalim and the groves," or the Baals and the groves. Well, the question we need to ask is, why did Israel do evil in the sight of the Lord? You see why in the passage that we've read. But why did they forget the Lord their God and serve and worship the many Baals, the many false gods, the Baalim, and the groves, or the Ashtoreth, which were the woods of trees erected for idolatry? Why were they led to this? Verse 5. "And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites." Israel hadn't obeyed the Lord. They hadn't utterly destroyed, nor drove out those foreigners that were in now their land that God had given them. And what happened because of this? Verse 6. "And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served," that's the word for worship or the duty of worship, "and served their gods." those in covenant with Jehovah marrying those who are not in covenant with Jehovah. Many times the Lord had commanded Israel to utterly destroy and drive out these nations because verse 6 would happen if they didn't. And that harkens back to the flood, remember? In Genesis, why did the Lord destroy the world with a flood? For which today we have the promise by His mercy and grace that He would never do it again. And He will never do it again. And He shows up by the sign of a rainbow. And it came to pass, Genesis, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, God's children, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, not God's children, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And so he sent the worldwide flood. Well, having promised never to send such a destructive flood, again, we see what happens the next time around, that the covenant people of God intermarry with unbelievers and idolaters. They serve the nation's false gods. They worship the Baalim or the Ashtoreth and not Jehovah. Not the living and true God. They've exchanged, Romans 1, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship the creature, creation, rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. And worshiping falsely, when we ourselves turn from the Lord's way little by little, we are moved more and more turning from the Lord. And it's in Genesis, we just read, they married the daughters of men instead of covenant daughters, princesses of the king. And what happened? Because they married the daughters of men, the wickedness of man was great in the earth. It became so great because one sin not addressed and repented of quickly leads to another sin and another and more until wickedness is a great infestation in idolatry throughout the whole nation. Therefore, intermarrying led to what? Verse 7. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Baalim and the groves. You think about, beloved, you build a bridge, and all the beams are in great condition, but one is deficient, one is rotten. What is going to happen? Destruction. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And that's what's happened here. And they forgot the Lord. They were so fixated on the false worship of the false gods. Oh, it's new and entertaining. It's different. And all the atrocities and the wickedness that seem to satisfy the lust of the flesh. Oh, they're out there and we have them. It's so good and they love those things. And so they turned from Jehovah and they did evil in His sight and they worshipped idols. All their time consumed with idolatry and sin. They forgot Jehovah. They forgot His covenant. They forgot His commandments. They forgot His law. They forgot the glorious promises of the Messiah and the gospel. What is it, beloved, when we turn from worshiping the Lord and being faithful Lord's Day after Lord's Day to be present with His people? When we turn from that, what happens is, well, it's out of sight, out of mind, it's out of heart. Their way became perverted, and the Lord, the King, is forgotten. Now, you know, beloved, do you not, that the Lord our God is a jealous God? It's the second commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. That's worship, right? For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. In the book of Joshua, ends with Joshua exhorting Israel. Joshua said unto the people, "Ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins." And what Joshua was saying there was that if you're here committing your way to Jehovah, don't turn from Him. Because if you turn from Him, and then after you've committed yourself to Him, and then turn from Him, made covenant with Him, and then turn from Him, and serve other gods, false gods, as they are doing in our passage, then Jehovah, who's a holy God, a jealous God, zealous for His glory, He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Turn to the Lord and be faithful. That's what Joshua was saying. And the people responded, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And the next generation, and they've now turned from the Lord. And they're serving, worshiping other gods, false gods. And Jehovah is still and always is and forever holy and just and jealous. And so you see verse 8. "Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. The first part of verse 8 is even more so like this. Jehovah burned in anger. He burned with anger. Friends, does the Lord burn in anger towards you? You've made covenant with Him. You've committed your way to Him. You said, "I will serve Him." And then, not here, but you go out there and you serve other gods, worship other gods, idols. Perhaps you come here and then you go out and you put all your focus and all your time and all your money into the world, into games, into entertainment, into your job. What are your idols? Each of you has idols. What are they? And every time you flee to those idols and you run to them, the Lord who is holy, the Lord who is jealous for His own worship alone, burns with anger, even against you, the covenant people, just like Israel here, the covenant people of God. He burns with anger. Covenant children, He burns with anger if you turn from Him. Right? As He did with the covenant people of Israel here, He burns. And such that it's possible that you could eventually forget Him altogether. Forget the Lord. And that by forgetting Him, that then you turn to your sins and do evil in His sight. Right? Every time we go after our idols, we have forgotten the Lord. As Christians, we often exalt, as we should, we exalt in God's mercy and grace. Praise the Lord. But consider the Lord's holiness. Consider His holiness. Is His anger burning hot against you? We come and we praise the Lord for showing us continual loving kindness, His covenant mercy, where in Christ He withholds not His eternal blessings, but He withholds His eternal punishments, right, towards us because Jesus was crucified for our sins. And what do we know again from going back to Joshua? If we went back to Joshua and then come into this passage and we hear what we hear in the last chapter, in chapter 2, that generation, the generation that has entered into the land of Canaan in Joshua, and they were faithful to the Lord. That's what the Lord said. They're faithful to the Lord. They're faithful unto Me as His covenant people. Now the next generation, their children, the next generation who are also God's covenant people have turned so completely from the Lord that they don't even think about Him. They're only concerned about the Baals, the false gods, and the Ashtoreth, and other gods. They're filled with unfaithfulness to Jehovah. That's you, children. So if your parents, children, if your parents are the faithful generation, then you need to consider yourself that you may be an unfaithful generation. And that should spur you on all the more to turn unto the Lord, lest what happens here come upon you. Think of that. Children, you need to know, even older children, you need to know that in God's providence, you are supremely blessed to be part of this congregation. And that is not to say or lift up this congregation in pride, but only to boast in Christ. But you should know that you're supremely blessed to sit under faithful preaching every Lord's Day. That you, most of your families that I know of, you have family worship and you teach your children the ways of God. Praise the Lord. And your children, you hear that every day, hopefully. Praise the Lord for that. How blessed was that generation that came into the land they were privileged to see and settle finally in their own land. And build their own homes instead of dwelling in tents any longer. And they were always moving, but no longer. How blessed those children were who were under those parents of the faithful generation, but they never fought. Because all they knew were homes. Never moving, never fighting for their faith. They only knew ease. They didn't keep fighting the faith. For the faith that their parents did, for purity and reformation amongst Israel. Parents, this ought to push you to a greater faithfulness to teach your children the doctrines found in the Scriptures and to teach them the Scriptures themselves, to bring them faithfully to worship every Lord's Day. Children, you're the next generation, and do not take it lightly where you are today. Do not take it for granted because your parents are Christians and they're believers. Don't say, because of them, I'm going to be saved. All you need to do is read Romans 9 and you'll find, and throughout the whole Old Testament, and you'll find that's not true. It's not by blood that you are saved. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. And so, as the next generation, you ought to seek to be faithful children to the Lord. And that starts today. And he says here in his word, watch and pray, lest you too be tempted. Because here's this next generation. Their parents were faithful. They turned, and here's this next generation that they turned from the Lord. They went out into the world and they loved the world. They loved their gods, the Baals, and they did marry God's. Did they marry God's children around them? No, they didn't. They worshiped false gods. They married unbelievers, non-Christians. And children, will you grow up and will you be faithful? Or like this covenant people spoken of in the passage, turn from the Lord. Choose today whom you will serve. Jehovah or the many false gods of the world out there. Jehovah leads to grace and mercy and life forever in Christ. A land flowing with milk and honey. Communion with God forever in Christ Jesus. But those false gods, they lead to one thing very similar to Romans 1, as we already mentioned. The Lord will hand you over to your false gods. Those false gods, you want them, the Lord will say, have them. The Lord sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And they served him, worshipped him. The Lord did this. Similarly, in chapter 2, verse 14 of Judges, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. This was the Lord's promise. If they wouldn't utterly destroy and drive out the nations in Canaan, this is what he promised. They broke covenant, and they are handed over to themselves. The Lord gave them up to their desires. Jehovah was just displeased with them, for they took that which was holy, they themselves, holy, set apart as God's children, as God's covenant people. And they set that aside to be common like all the other nations. They set themselves, which were holy, now set that holiness aside and they said, no, we want to be like everybody else. And so the Lord, who is their, was their hedge of protection around them, laid them bare and open to the world. They wanted the nations, they wanted the gods of the world, that they received. False gods who can't save them. A nation, nations of the world coming and ruling over them. Here, the king of Mesopotamia. That's what they wanted. And they received it. And what does it say there? The first one to come to the open fields of unfaithful Israel was Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, coming from the northeast of Israel. And Israel served him as their king, served him, worshipped him, even as a false god. And this is Israel's land, though. Their land, inheritance from Jehovah to them, the children. Beloved, they forfeited the land in their disobedience and unfaithfulness. And this went on for, it says, 8 years of slavery and service to this foreign king. They're almost, it's almost like they're back in Egypt, slaves again. And perhaps in the first few years they were getting by. They said, oh, this will turn away maybe like we think of inflation today. Maybe in a couple years it'll turn back. Everything's fine. We'll survive. They could get through this time, but time dragged on. 8 years is a long time. And year after year, they could not shake off the yoke of slavery. This king. But eventually their pride turned to cries. There was a time when they were filled and were blessed of the Lord because of their parents. And they had gone off now and cried to Baalim, Ashtoreth. But now, when their false gods could do nothing, because they are nothing but man's creation. They're just wood and stone. They don't hear anything. They don't have ears to hear, right? They don't have eyes to see. They can't hear anyone's cries. They can't hear anyone's prayers. And so they're pleading unto these false gods that can't hear. No one would hear them, even though they love them and they serve those false gods. None of those gods heard them. And so when in dire straits, when in trouble, they found that the last one that they went to, finally turning back to Jehovah, in whom they had at first made covenant, now they cry out to him. Because, oh, our parents had cried out to him, and he blessed them, and he answered their cries every time. And they had rebelled against him, and turned from him, and rejected him, and yet here they're going back to him. His holiness and justice. Because of their sin, because of their sin, our God was faithful in all his holiness and justice and sent upon them this trouble that they might see that all these false gods, all these idols could do absolutely nothing for them. Not even hear their cry for trouble, for help in trouble. That it's only today, even today, it is only the Lord's power and favor that can save us out of our troubles. That's what this generation found out. For they finally, in all their afflictions, they finally cried out to the only God who has ears to hear. They cried out to him, Jehovah, that they had forgotten. But now some inkling of remembrance came back to them by the Holy Spirit. And our parents cried out to the Lord. He answered them. The only hope we have, after we've gone to all these other gods and they haven't heard, they haven't listened, they haven't done what we want them to do, the only hope that we have left is to cry out to the Lord. And that's verse 9. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. Right, the children of Israel finally humble themselves enough to cry out to Jehovah. And children today, all of you who are here today, friends, you might not have anything else, but if you would just humble yourselves before the Lord, if you would just humble yourselves alone, but enough to cry out to Him, enough to cry out to the Lord in prayer in Christ and acknowledge that Jehovah hears our cries. That alone in Jesus Christ does He hear and answer them. The covenant God Jehovah, no matter how sinful their prayers were, just as our prayers are often filled with much sin, how sinful their prayers were in crying out to Him, He still heard them. Right? Look at all they did. They had worshipped false gods after they knew Him. And they worshipped false gods and went after them. And yet He still, finally, when they humbled themselves, He still heard their cry. He still heard them. And the Lord shows mercy to them. And the Lord raises up a deliverer, a judge, which is in the book of Judges, a deliverer, a savior to the children of Israel who delivered them. Othniel, Caleb's younger brother. The Lord did not reject their cries, but graciously provided a Savior for them. One from the previous generation. A generation, if you remember, has the faithful followers that are now passed away, most of them. And by now, at this point, Othniel is far advanced in years. He's older now, well near the end of his life, in which he does die soon after this. Jehovah raised him up to save His people. And so those of you who are older, think of this. The decays of age were of no hindrance to His usefulness when God had work for Him to do. And so if you have work that God has for you to do, the age that you are has no bearing on that. Well, how did the Lord come and call Othniel? He did so by His Spirit, showing forth the power of God. You see verse 10, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim." How is anyone called of God? By the Holy Spirit. You're called by the Spirit to be a pastor, called by the Spirit to be an elder, called by the Spirit to be a deacon, called by the Spirit to be a Christian. Right? "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel, the Lion of God." That's what his name means. He did not call himself. He did not say, in his old age, seeing all these young, the younger generation, seeing all their unfaithfulness, he didn't raise himself up to this call. The Lord called him by His Spirit. It's not of man. It's not by man that calling of the Lord, the calling of the Lord comes. It is of the Spirit of the Lord coming upon a man. And His calling was what? To judge Israel. To judge Israel. Often we think of the judges, we think that the judges are raised up to judge the enemies of Israel. But that's not exactly correct. Here they're to judge Israel first, and then judge the enemies. To judge, again, in this book, primarily means to deliver, to save the Lord's covenant people. And so the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, raised up Othniel to save these wayward covenant children of Israel who finally cried out to Jehovah. The Spirit of all wisdom and power and courage qualified him for this service. It was nothing in him that qualified him. It was the Lord who qualified him. And so having been called, what did he do? He went first out and judged Israel. He's going out to right all the wrongs within Israel. In their relation to Jehovah, they have played the harlot, the prostitute. They had committed adultery and idolatry. And this judging was to make things right with Israel's enemies. This king, Cushan-Rishathaim. Israel, again, needs a right relationship with Jehovah, though, because they've sinned against Him. Israel, you have sinned. And so Othniel would have rebuked them as a messenger of God to them. Othniel would have gone out and convinced them that they had sinned against the Lord and to see what it is that they have done, that they deserve the eternal pains of hell forever, but now to turn unto the Lord and be restored back to the pure worship of Jehovah. First, he judged Israel. That's what Othniel was doing. He was delivering Israel from their sins and idolatry and bringing them to worship the Lord, to love the Lord God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And today, friends, you want deliverance from your sins, the eternal condemnation of your sins, then you must come to Jesus Christ alone to save you from them. He is the eternal and forever living judge. And he comes often rebuking his people because they have often turned to idolatry and sin, turning often from his face. Well, turn back now to the Lord and cry out to him. Humble yourselves and cry, and he will answer, and he'll hear your pleas and show you mercy. You turn back to the Lord in Christ, and he will not hide his face any longer. Praise the Lord. He'll shine the brightness of his countenance upon each one of you who comes and grant you all grace and peace if you come to him. But often he'll also judge the enemy. For no enemy of the Lord's is, and no enemy that attacks God's people, his covenant people, will ever stand. And that is true then as it is today. It says of Othniel, and he went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim. Who delivers his people? Is it Othniel, the judge? Should we exalt in the man? No. Over and over as you go through Joshua, it's Jehovah alone who delivers, who saves. And it's the same in the book of Judges. Othniel comes, he's prevailed against this king because the Lord had delivered them into his hand. It's right there in the text. Praise the Lord, the God that the Lord brought Israel back to him, and they worshiped him for a generation. Praise the Lord. Verse 11. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel the son of Kenaz died. The yoke of oppression, the slavery, the bondage to sin, it was broken. Some of you here today feel that bondage to sin. Always pulled, always overtaken in sin. Othniel died. The Savior of Israel died, but Jesus, who rose, who died and rose again, it is the Savior of all who come to him by faith. He is the great and eternal deliverer, judge, from all enemies, even sin and the devil, and delivers you and saves you from all that everlasting damnation to eternal blessing in life. Some fruit of reformation we see here in verse 11. The land had rest 40 years from enemies coming and attacking. And that blessing would continue if they would remain faithful to the Lord. If they would be, and if you would be, beloved, covenant keepers that you would receive, then blessing forevermore. And so, beloved, we've learned that our sin and our unfaithfulness to the Lord can bring on God's people, including ourselves, God's judgments. Remember, judgment begins with the house of God, right? Psalm 90, verse 11, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. And so in our distresses, beloved, never forget. You may forget the Lord a lot along the way. And each time you'll sin and turn from him. But no. Never forget to cry out to him once you realize that there's no one else to save you. No one else to save you. Cry out to the Lord. That's what they did. When you finally come back to your senses, your true heart, if you're a believer in Christ, then you will remember only the Lord can save me. Cry out to him and he will hear your pleas. Friendship we see here with the world is fatal. But crying out to the Lord is life. That's what we see. Look at Isaiah 26. Or think of it. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Right? And when we return to the Lord, Psalm 119, it's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And so the Lord sends a judge. He brings relief. But he warned also in your crying. Be warned of it when you cry. That it must be, as we heard in the call to worship, it must be from your heart. It must be genuine. Hosea 7. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. And they have not cried unto me with their heart. When they howled upon their beds, they assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. Right? They're going through the motions. Don't think that crying out to the Lord is like a game. It's not just a particular set of words. Often we think of that when we pray in Christ's name, and that's like some secret key that now God's going to answer our prayers. No, it's for the sake of Christ is what that means. For the gospel, what He died on the cross, it's only by Him that our prayers are answered because He is our Savior. And the Lord hears Him as He intercedes for us. It's the same here. They did not pray from their heart. They howled. And what happened? There was nothing from their heart. They didn't mean what they said. It was just words to them. And they just went about their day like nothing was different. And so, woe unto them. So be warned, beloved, when you cry out to the Lord to do it genuinely from your heart. But the Lord has raised up a judge, a deliverer, a Savior, one so enabled by the Holy Spirit, Jesus, enabled by the Spirit at His baptism. Jesus, is Jesus your judge, your deliverer, your Savior? Think of Isaiah 33, for the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our King. He will save us. Is it your prayer that Jesus would save you, even as the great judge? You think of Acts 5. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins, only in Christ. Each one here, your calling is unto faithfulness to the Lord in Christ. And if not, be warned by this passage. Our rest comes only from Jesus. He will grant that rest in coming to Jesus. In Jesus we find rest for our souls. And at the right time, if we keep coming, we keep crying out to the Lord, He will at last bring us home to that eternal Sabbath rest. In glory with Him. And as Job 3 says, where the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. So bring your weary souls and cry out to Jesus for your salvation. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful again for our Savior Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the gospel. We're thankful for this warning that You give us at the great anger that will come from You, the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, when we turn from You and worship other gods, and we go after our idols, the things of this world. But Father, turn us from that wicked way, and grant us salvation in Christ, and rest for our souls, but so too our bodies.